Good report.
Is Ally with us for the Port Sisseton Festival preview?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, you guys.
No, that you are fine. Hi. We can hear you. And are we waiting for
wonderful.
Presentation?
Do you guys see it now?
Yes, we do. You can go ahead and start whenever you're ready.
Okay. All right. Well, good morning, Madam Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Roblin, and guests. For those who don't know me, I'm Ally, Park Manager here at Port Sisseton Historic State Park. Despite the weather outside and the snow that we have coming down, it is springtime, which means that we are gearing up for our 47th annual historical festival here at Port Sisseton. So, as many of you guys know, the historical festival is one of the oldest events in Game Fish and Parks and brings in about 8,000 to 10,000 people annually. But what is really neat about this event is the large capacity and aspect of the event. You've got 11 regular campground sites here at Port Sisseton. And during this event, we get over 200 campsites, which means that over half of our attendance at this event is actually camping in a field with no hookups and generators, basically. But people absolutely love coming to this event. It's a family tradition for a lot of them. Another noteworthy part of this attendance is the day use visitors. A lot of them don't camp at the fort because they want the luxuries of home. They want to have air conditioning and they want to do their hair, according to one gal who told me that last year. So they stay at other parks such as Pickerel or Roy Lake, or they actually stay at some of the local lodging. So like the lodges that we have around and of course the hotels and stuff like that. So this event not only helps Port Sisseton and other state parks, but it also brings in a lot of people and help the economy in Marshall, Day, and Roberts County. A lot of them also are seeing this Port Sisseton Historical Festival as a family tradition. We have a family that's been coming since day one, the very first festival, and now they're bringing their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and everybody to this event because, like I said, it is just an incredible weekend of fun, festivities, and family traditions. So, but today, I really wanted to highlight some of the things about our 2025 festival. I don't know if you guys know this, but your Game Fish and Parks Commission meeting in June will be in Aberdeen right before the festival. And if you know anything about Aberdeen, it's just a short drive to Fort Sisseton. So after I go through some of the highlights, I really recommend you guys putting it on your calendar. So some of the things we've been working on for the 2025 festival is increasing awareness of it by looking at non-traditional marketing tools. We started looking at digital billboards in South Dakota, North Dakota, and Minnesota, which has allowed us to update and change the ad weekly. So we keep catching people's eyes as they're sitting at that red light. And also the other fun part is the week of festival, we actually can do a countdown on those digital billboards for no extra cost, anything like that. So it's been kind of neat to see. The other thing is last year, the South Dakota Tourism chose Fort Sisseton's Historical Festival to actually have their podcast come out and actually participate in the festival. And so I highly recommend you go onto the Fort Sisseton Facebook page or even the South Dakota Tourism and listen to that podcast. The two gentlemen who joined us actually got into the soldiers' uniforms. They were actually put through drills. They actually slept in the military tents. They participated in all the activities like a normal soldier would. But what's really neat during this podcast is you don't hear sound effects. You actually hear the festival behind you. And it really brings to life and interacts with people as they're listening to the festival. So if you've never been to it or kind of curious to what it sounds like, what happens, I highly recommend you listen to that South Dakota Tourism podcast. The other thing that is really being pushed this year and increasing awareness is, of course, the Fort Sisseton Master Plan. As you all know, Fort Sisseton put forth a master plan, and we're starting to do fundraiser efforts with it, including, of course, that chuck wagon meal during the festival. And if you have never eaten from our chuck wagon meal with our chuck wagon masters, I highly recommend coming to that fundraiser and supporting Fort Sisseton in our master plan. Another thing we've been seeing over the years is, of course, we want to make this family inclusive event. And so we know there has been some new challenges that have come up. We have been trying to create a very safe and inclusive environment. for all different kinds of families that are out there and ones that have special needs that we can maybe be able to help them with. So we have now actually hired American Sign Language interpreters for the last couple of years, and we are able to now actually say that we are an ASL approved event because of this. So we have sign language interpreters available on Saturdays and Sundays, which allows the families, honestly, to have some independence, allows the individual who has the hearing loss to enjoy the festival and have the independence to be able to go to the different programs and everything like that. That has been hugely accepted. We get thanked from many family members and even the individuals for having this opportunity for them. The other thing that we observed last year is we noticed a lot of fathers bringing their young children. Maybe mom was busy with something else. And so we noticed that the gentlemen would be changing their children, like on the tiny little counter that we have in the men's bathroom. So this year, this last fall, we increased our changing tables for children. We've been putting them also in the men's room, but we also added ones that could handle higher weight due to children with special needs who were older, couldn't fit on the infant size changing table. So we added ones that handle older children so they weren't being changed on counters or in embarrassing situations. The other one that we're working with is we have contacted a local special education teacher here in our area who is trying to help us become sensory friendly for children and adults who have sensory overload at the festival. So one of the things we're doing is we're creating a sensory safe location that allows them to debrief when they are overstimulated. The other thing we're looking at is also helping with hands-on activities that help with the sensory stimulation, but in a quieter environment. If you've ever been to the festival, we have guns going off, we have horses going, and all this other stuff. So sometimes that sensory overload can cause some issues, and families, unfortunately, either can't come because of that, or they have to leave early because of it. So we're working on creating a sensory-friendly location. The other thing is we're looking at creating sensory friendly and other sensory items. They're called sensory friendly bags. So in these bags, we'll have noise canceling headphones and, like I said, other sensory items that the kids can help or the adults can help de-escalate so they can enjoy the festival also. The nice part about these bags is that they'll be available on a daily basis at the fort and also during other special events. And so, and of course, we're also trying to bring some great entertainment. And so we're always, every year, we're looking at new entertainment, speakers, and mini events during this this larger event. So this year, we focus on evening entertainment. We noticed that people are excited. They're high energy, ready to go on Thursday when they pull in with their camper. Kids are running around, screaming, having a good time. And of course, on Sunday, they're tired, ready to go home because it's just the start of a new work week. So what we started doing is adding evening entertainment. So on Thursday night, we're going to have a variety show where local talents or anybody who wants to be part of it can put it up on stage and we'll have a good time. And then we're following that with a nice movie under the big tent too. Of course, Friday, we have the melodrama and another night movie under the big tent. And then, of course, Saturday, we have a band called Monday Morning Regrets out of Watertown. They are new to us. They play a mix of everything. They'll be giving a concert right after we have the Grand March. And of course, right after the Grand March, then is the military ball. So there's like multiple things going on. So if you're not into dancing or anything like that, but if you really enjoy music, you can go over and listen to Monday Morning Regrets. Or if you've never been to the military ball, I highly recommend it. It's quite different. And the people are great to participate in the dance with. So the other thing is we've actually worked with some of our reenactors who have been researching our commanding officers, our adjutant officers, and also our surgeon, and they will actually be there portraying them the whole entire time in the buildings, talking with the people, keeping in the 1860s character. And in fact, I heard that the surgeon was willing to operate if anybody wants an amputation or if they need to be operated on, he said. So, but they will be actually in character and not just in the military reenactment. Something else that we have been really been asked about and asked to increase is, of course, the Native American presence. So we've been working with the South Dakota Arts Council to bring in some of the Native Americans from South Dakota to talk about their culture, to do hoop dancing, to talk about the medicine wheel. In fact, the medicine wheel one is actually a workshop where people will be able to create their own medicine wheel while they're listening to Star Chief Eagle, who's from South Dakota. So it's been really neat to work with the Arts Council on that one. Then we were able to get a couple grants, South Dakota, through the South Dakota Humanities, to really bring in some amazing speakers and authors. So Jeff Barnes is a famous historian author who will be talking about the forts of the Dakota Territory. He has published about 6 to 8 books. And because of the humanities grant, we're able to bring him in. He'll be talking about his talk, the forts and everything like that. And then the other Arts Council one that we were able to get is Russ Swanson, who is an author of a book called Jesse James. And it's called 3 Days in the Dakotas. And it talks about how Jesse James and what his time spent in the Dakotas. Russ Swanson is also a local South Dakota historian. And then some of the cool things that we've also been able to bring in is a children's pie baking contest, thanks to a grant and a scholarship through the Association of Chuck Wagon. What's really neat about this is the children work with the master Chuck Wagon to actually cook and Dutch oven cook over the coals and everything like that. It is a competition. And then there's, because of the scholarship, we're able to get awards out to the kids. They are actually able to enter to a college scholarship later too, if they're the ones who win the contest. And again, getting them outside, cooking outdoors and stuff like that. Last year, we actually had a child who was blind who participated, and she is actually the one who won the contest. So it was really cool to see her participate and be part of that activity. So, and of course, one of the big things I really pushed at Fort Sisseton is just the hands-on activities. We want people to experience history, want people to enjoy history. And so we have created the hands-on tent where people could go, do crafts, touch history, really interact with it, because that's how you get to know history and understand it. We also added a Bob Ross workshop where you're going to go and paint with Bob Ross and just kind of enjoy that. We have a gypsy workshop where she does dream interpretation. She talks about some of the different hands-on things with gypsies and things. So like I said, we've really pushed the hands-on aspect this year and bringing in different workshops, different speakers to get people to interact with history and not just watch or listen to it. Another thing on Sunday, we have the Ladies Proper Tea that is new this year. The ladies of the military officers were really excited to be able to bring in this proper tea, explain what the tea etiquette was, why people would have a proper tea, what's the purpose of it and stuff like that. And again, people get to actually be part of it and enjoy it. And then, of course, we're bringing about the 1860s baseball. The 1860s baseball game is the Fort Sisseton Soldiers against the Minnesota Akrons. And understand that these are Game Fish and Park employees who actually put in on Civil War uniforms. We're playing 1860s rules. So that means, you guys, that you don't wear gloves. You have to wear the wool uniform. The way they speak to one another is so different. Bats had to be made out of wood, but doesn't necessarily have to be round. The balls are made out of rubber. And overall, it is the people who are participating, the people who are watching, who make some of the judgment calls. So it is an interactive game. Sometimes we pull people from the stands to actually join us, to play with us during our baseball game. And it's a lot of fun. Like I said, so far the Soldiers have won the last 3 games against Minnesota. So hopefully we can keep that on a roll. So that's kind of a fun thing. And then, of course, a major new thing this year is on Saturday. Thanks to the Buckhorn Rodeo, who is sponsoring this, we are actually having a barrel racing contest in the rodeo arena this year for all ages. So we have the peewees all the way up to the high competitors coming in. And it's an all-day thing. There'll be awards and there'll be money and everything like that, awards given out for our barrel race competitors, thanks to the Buckhorn Rodeo. So it's been amazing to see all these new things added to it. This is just a taste of some of the things we have. The tentative schedule right now is actually out, and it's about 7 pages long, and we keep adding to it of all the different things. One of the things we've also really done is we're working with getting a community transit bus. One of the things we noticed is people were wanting to come to festival, but they're camping at Roy, but let's say they brought an RV that's a driving one, and so they don't have a vehicle to get there, or maybe mom wants to bring the kids, but yet dad is unable to. So one of the things we're trying to work with is a local transit bus to be able to go from park to park, Pickerel and Roy, or at least Roy, to Fort Sisseton every so often, so people can actually come on out to the festival who's not able to come out to the festival. So we're working on that right now with the transit bus and everything. And, of course, the local nursing home, we have contacted them. Actually, they contacted us asking if there was a really good time for them to bring out the residents, which would, again, be sensory-friendly for some of them, wheelchair-accessible events and things like that. So it's been really neat to see the 2025 festival really come together and watching that interaction and that inclusiveness that we've been able to already bring to the festival and that we keep increasing and stuff like that. So, like I said, our festival this year is June 6th to the 8th. Like I said, we have a tentative schedule out right now. I kind of just gave you a very, like I said, a small glimpse of it. So, since you're going to be at the GFP Commission in Aberdeen, I highly recommend coming out and honestly tasting this festival for yourself, checking it out, seeing what we have, and of course, tasting the good food that happens between the pie baking contest, where you get to try that, the chuck wagon feed and everything. There is so much to see for everybody. So, like I said, go on to our Facebook page if you're interested, or even the Historical Festival webpage, and you can see that full tentative schedule to figure out when would be a good time for you to come out and visit. Also, check out that podcast if you really want to understand the immersiveness that Fort Sisseton Historical Festival has for an atmosphere. So, any questions? Like I said, I hope you will join us, but is there any questions or anything?
Questions from the commission? Comments? Allie, I do have a couple here. First, I applaud the efforts for all of those that have made this more inclusive, for families that have young children, fathers that might be there, families with special needs children. Kudos for recognizing that and making some changes to help those families come and enjoy themselves. In terms of what is added, is there a survey that goes out after the festival to get feedback from participants to see what they liked, what they'd like to have more of?
Yes, yeah, great question. So we do a survey. We actually have them throughout the weekend. We have paper surveys, and then also people can go online or our mobile app, and where we have a schedule, an active schedule for them, and then they can also take the surveys there. So, yep, we compile all those together and come up and see what they are asking for, what they'd like, what they didn't like, where they're coming from. That's really key for me. So while we're focusing on marketing, we need to see where we're low, you know, where are we low at, and where do we need to increase? Where are we doing good at? So, yes.
Very good. Thank you for that. Secretary Rowland.
Yeah, no, thank you, Madam Chair. Just wanted to say, I do encourage all of you to attend. I am going to plan to attend this event with my family as well that weekend. So we do have that meeting up in Aberdeen for the purpose of trying to attend this event as well, and it looks pretty fun and exciting, and I'm sure my kids will very much enjoy it. So thank you, Allie, for the presentation. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you, Allie.